CBSi and the world. I'm John Batson with Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Statistics. Before the Houthi attacks on Red Sea shipping, the average number of ships passing through Red Sea and the Suez was 70 per day. Since then, it's gone to 49 and is going lower. Before the attacks, there was no particular premium on passageway through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. There was 0.7% charged for insurance, depending upon the worth of your load. Now it's gone to 1% and is expected to go higher. Major shippers such as Maersk have said, we're planning on this lasting months, so we're diverting around the Cape of Good Hope. There's reason to believe that the revenue in Cairo is sinking badly and a fragile governance in Egypt, down 30% when I checked. All this because the Houthis have missiles, some of them very good missiles, supplied by Iran. We welcome Ari Chikaril of the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, who visited us before the Houthi attacks began, to talk of Iranian ambition in the Red Sea. Ari, a very good evening to you. At this point, the U.S. response is to continue to announce strikes against launch sites. I believe there have been four. There might be a fifth one going out right now. However, that has not either stopped the Houthis or in any fashion interfered in a way that the shippers can trust going back into the Red Sea. What is your measure about the Houthis and their intentions? Are they doing this for love, for money, for religion? Why? What is putting them at this risk to take on the U.S. Navy? Good evening to you.
Thank you for having me back on the show. On at least 47 occasions since the Israel-Hamas war began, the Iran-backed Houthis have seized or attempted to seize commercial vessels and launch missiles and drones at ships in Middle Eastern waterways. The Houthis in Yemen have launched at least 137 missiles and drones, and at least one missile has originated from Iranian territory. As you noted, when I was last on the show in August, we were talking about potential plans to put Marines on commercial ships because of Iranian attacks in the Gulf. The U.S. didn't move forward with that plan, probably because of the many challenges that we discussed on the show. At that time, that was a problem where Iran and Iraq were seized around 10 ships from January to July. The number of Houthi attacks since November have now quadrupled that. So we're dealing with a much more frequent problem. The dozens of strikes on January 11th by U.S. and British aircraft, warships, and submarines against targets in Yemen used by the Iran-backed Houthis were an important, albeit overdue, step towards deterring and degrading the terrorist group's capabilities. However, an escalation by Iran and its proxies since then, despite the additional attacks, including one, as you noted, that may be ongoing right now, suggests these strikes neither degraded the group's capability significantly enough to prevent it from conducting attacks, nor deterred Tehran, which are its ultimate backers, from further aggression. Given the low cost of Houthi attacks and the immense consequences to the global economy, as well as the credibility of the United States and its partners, imposing deterrent costs on the Houthis and the Iranian regime requires conducting more frequent, deadlier, and damaging strikes against the Houthis, the Iranian regime, and other proxy leaders, as well as striking command and control centers that undermines their ability to exert power over territory in the Middle East. So not just striking the missiles, as we've done, or the launch sites or the radars, but actually striking and imposing costs on the Houthis and the Iranian regime that hits at what they value, their control over territory.
How will the designation of the Houthis as the special designation as a terror organization and not as a FTO, foreign terrorist organization, which is a much stronger classification, how will this affect the Houthis and Yemen more broadly? And what are there any new options that become available to the U.S. as a result of this designation?
Well, the specially designated global terrorist, or SDGT, designation enables the Treasury Department to freeze any Houthi assets and block access to the U.S. financial institutions and markets under the SDGT. As you noted, it's not as strong as the Foreign Terrorist Organization designation, or the FTO. Under the SDGT, Iran-backed terrorists can still get U.S. visas. It's not criminal penalty to support them, and U.S. banks are unable to seize their funds. So I don't see the SDGT designation in any way deterring the Houthis. It does enable some limited financial blocking and ability for the U.S. Treasury Department to stop their access to financial markets. But that's not going to deter them from launching these attacks.
A puzzle about the Houthis. They gather around a man who's actually named Houthi. Is a decapitation strike practical? Can it be done to remove the leadership?
I certainly think the U.S. needs to strike Houthi operational leaders, leaders who are in charge of ordering these strikes, commanding forces, to signal to the other leaders in the Houthis, to signal to other Iran-backed terrorist groups, to signal to the Iranian regime itself that it's willing to target those who are responsible for these attacks. I think that would certainly go toward a long way towards deterring further aggression, not just by the Houthis, but also as the U.S. continues to deal with Iran-backed attacks in Iraq and Syria.
So right now, their penalty they're paying is that they're losing some weapon systems which can be replaced. But to your knowledge, they're not losing personnel. Is that correct, Ari?
I believe they may have lost a handful of personnel in the initial strike, or at least they claim to have lost personnel. But that's not going to degrade their capacity to launch strikes and certainly not deter them.
Malcolm?
Has been Russia, China, unlike Iran, have they rallied to the defense of Yemen? Are they providing more weapons? Is anybody coming to their aid? I see the Saudis have backed off, even though they came under attack from Yemen for a long time. Is Russia and China involved? Are there others?
I believe Russia has indicated it does not want the U.S. to continue striking in Yemen. China certainly benefits from the free flow of navigation through Middle Eastern waterways, but has been a bit of a free rider in terms of U.S. efforts to ensure the freedom of navigation. So it benefits from these strikes without actually having to take part in them.
Early on in the conflagration, there was talk out of Europe, I think it was a Bloomberg report, that major shippers, Maersk might have been one of them, were in conversation with the Houthis for protection money, something like that. That's what it added up to. And I thought, well, that's cynical of them, but it might work. Have you heard anything like that, Ari? And would protection money work with the Houthis? These are not jihadists. These are guns for hire.
That's not something I have information about, but I would not suggest that providing money to terrorist groups is a route towards security. I wouldn't trust them with that. And I think the only route to really preventing their attacks is removing their ability to launch them and removing their ability to control territory that makes them fear further strikes.
Malcolm?
Yeah, when we spoke to you last time, we spoke about the joint exercises that were going on in the Red Sea, Israel, United States, others, and the plan to put U.S. naval personnel on commercial ships to try to prevent the hijacking. How has the U.S. naval presence changed since then? Do we still have enough personnel and enough capacity there to protect the ships with the withdrawal of one of the aircraft carrier groups? Do the others in the region see it as a significant commitment?
So, as you noted, we've withdrawn one of the aircraft carrier groups. There were two. One was deployed to the region after the war, the Israel-Hamas war began, and another one extended its deployment. Now they've withdrawn. But several of the ships that were part of that aircraft carrier group reconstituted and are still present in the region. So we have air defense capacity. On numerous occasions, the U.S. Has intercepted Houthi missiles. They've initiated a multinational task force, Operation Prosperity Guardian, to secure commercial shipping through the Red Sea. Ultimately, this is a defensive measure. It's reactive. And it's designed to protect ships, but it's not designed to launch the kind of offensive strikes into Yemen that the U.S. has been doing. And the U.S. has been very clear to distinguish between its defensive Operation Prosperity Guardian and the strikes that it's been launching recently.
Ari Shekharel is the Assistant Director of Foreign Policy at the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, Malcolm Honlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.